When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around again your iPhone. Turn it on.
What's the time for, dude?
Huh? It's time for This Life with Bob Forrest and Dr. Drew.
So we've convinced Gina to stick around for one more show. This is the New Year show, and we have
got dogs. We got birthday parties.
Very special guest.
So much excitement on
Vinny,
a podcast.
Hang on a second.
In a file. In a fucking phone.
Vinny Tortorich is our guest. Gina has a experience with Vinny that I want
backseat
to get into a little bit.
Our relationship.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I want to thank.
Are they entering the frame?
No, everybody thinks that.
Everybody. Too many voices.
No.
Let me get some business out of the way first. Please do support the people that support our show. Just click through on the Amazon banner. We need your help. We got to keep this thing afloat in 2017. Yeah. And
yes,
we appreciate you listening and sending in emails to the contact list and getting on the email list. We really appreciate it. Check out doctor.com. Check out Weekly Infusion. And Bergamot. We appreciate those guys. I've been on Bergamot for a while. They let you reduce your statin. They're good for vascular health. I gave Gina a bottle of Bergamot.
It's in my purse.
Yep, she's going to be taking it. What's that, Susan? Susan's taking some right now. She's taking hers right this second. But I am very enthusiastic about this polyphenol product.
What happens if you snort it?
Dude, crush stop, it up and stop with your
you
drug
become a king.
Stop with your drug addict bullshit.
You're a superhero.
For a second.
Well, you're the nutritionist. What would happen if you crushed it up and snorted it?
I don't know. Things happen differently when it goes in your nose versus your stomach.
Yes, thank you. That's what I was looking for. But, all right, let me give Vinny's particulars. Vinny, is your Tortorich? Is your website here?
Yeah.
What's your website?
VinnyTortorich.com.
Can I spell your last name?
Tortorich.
And the Vinny is V-I-N-N-I-E.
Yeah, you were able to get that?
Yeah.
Nobody copyrighted okay. that.
Yeah,
book.
I had to buy it from a dude. Yeah,
the book.
$4,800 yeah. bucks.
The
what is it called?
Squatting.
Squatting.
Yeah.
I think Bob did snort something before before this
Bergamot.
Show.
This is what happens when you snort Bergamot.
Okay. The book and the podcast is called Fitness Confidential.
Yeah.
There's a live show, Vinny's Big Fat Show, and Gina, you will be a guest at Flappers Comedy. That's on January 15th. Where is Flappers?
It's in Burbank.
It's right here.
Burbank, yeah. Super convenient.
Good. Excellent. Yeah. And do we have time on that show yet? It's like
8
o'clock?
5 p.m. Yeah, it's early Sunday. It's the early show. And that show we've been doing, it's going to be the third show. It's been kicking butt.
Good.
And really enjoying it. And it's been selling out. So let's sell out Flappers.
Yeah, I'm just going to ride Vinny's cocktails.
January 15th. Yeah. Then if you, any of you, again, this, what?
The show.
What's it about? Susan wants to know.
You know, it's funny. Mike August set this up.
Let me give a little bit of Mike August is sort of an important person on Podcast One. He's been at Adam Carolla's life for a long time. This is sort of three quarters Adam Carolla-esque show. Bob, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I do a show with Adam called Adam and Dr. Drew. I do a podcast over there. Gina is his news and color person. Vinny is a very frequent guest and is there all the time. So this is all from the Carolla platform that we're joining
right.
from today. The show.
I started doing speeches and started going around Europe. And then last year was India. I had 16 dates in India. And I was going off to Ivy League schools. Princeton had me last year and sitting on panels. And Mike August got the bright idea that he can make a dime on this. And he goes, hey, would you mind? He goes, who's booking you? And I said, I'm booking me. And he goes, well, I will book you. And I said, okay, have at it. And he called me about a week later, and he says, I have you booked. And I said, okay, where am I booked? And he said, Pasadena Ice House. And I said, well, Mike, that's a comedy club. And he goes, I know. And I said, Mike, I'm not a comic. And he says, I know. And
that's a new thing.
Yeah. And
Mike and I have done some. Adam and I have done some.
Yeah, comedy clubs can't sell out at midweek, so they bring us in on Thursday night. It's mainly your audience. And I was worried that people were walking off the street and expect
Well, in a weird way, Adam invented this thing of doing a podcast at a comedy club.
Right.
Yeah. He sort of invented that.
And I didn't have a name for it, so when they called me and said, what are you calling it? I said, Vinny's Big Fat Show. Come on out to Vinny. And they wrote that in the title. So, okay,
P-H or F?
P-F.
Yeah. People are going to come in and expect you to be morbidly obese and be disappointed.
Yeah, they come in. And actually, at the last show we did, again, Mike booked me into the Irvine Improv, and a husband and wife showed in. They thought they were going to see comedy, and then they fell in love with the show. They ended up buying my book and all my crap after the show. So
that
good.
Is good.
So we're going to do it at Flappers.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. And it's about health and diet.
We'll get into it.
So I want Gina to talk about her situation with you, but I think you need to first tell people who may not be familiar about the celebrities and all the stuff you've done.
Yeah,
the book. What's in the book? And
I've been around for a long time. I'm going to talk to you, Bob, since you don't know me. Just walking in.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for 35 years. I got here 26 years ago, and somehow got into the celebrity community really quickly, which I didn't want to do because
they're paying the ass.
Yeah, no, pretty much. Yeah. It started off, someone at Playboy hired me to lose weight. And then that person said, you know, after these Playmates, this is how it ended up happening. After these Playmates do their gig, they start gaining weight, but Playboy had them under contract for 2 years. Mm. And the last thing you need is a fat Playmate. It doesn't do so well. So they hired me to take care of a couple of the Playmates. And Playmates are, you know, I guess for lack of any, you know, are adjacent to celebrity. Back in those days, if you were in the breakfast, what would they call them? The Brat Pack. You were basically banging a Playmate at some point. And so,
it'd be fair if you're Bill Cosby, mm-hmm, hang around the Playboy.
They might not know it.
I used to see him at the mansion.
I'm sure
he was one of those guys at the mansion.
Who's
all
scouting?
The time. There were a lot of people at the mansion all the time, married guys, and but yeah, it was. I'm saying him. I would normally never say anything about celebrities, but I think he's pretty well fucked at this point. I don't think I can tarnish that image any more than it's been tarnished. You know, drugging and raping is about as deep as you can get. So, okay, Bill, one more. You were at the Playboy Mansion in the grotto.
Guilty.
So that's how it started, and then the Brat Packers and those kind of people started following along, and next thing you know, they weren't popular anymore, but by that time I was on to other celebrities, and I've always hated the term celebrity fitness trainer because it became such a cliche. You know,
it's a cliche.
It is. It really is.
Almost as bad as celebrity drug counselor. Yeah.
it is about. It's almost. It's like you're getting ready to tell a joke. You know, a rabbi and two priests walk into a bar. You know, it's that much of a cliche at this point. And
people want to be it. There's a million people in West Hollywood want to be celebrity fitness people. Mm. I see them on the corner of I used to have offices at Fairfax and Santa Monica Boulevard. Mm-hmm. They all hang out there. There's a CrossFit there. They all want to meet a celebrity and train them. Same thing with the celebrity therapist that we created, I think.
I hope not, because we didn't like to go celebrity.
It was so gross when I first saw there was a casting call for psychologists that were going to be on a new reality TV show, and I happened to be in the office doing overdubs or something. And I was like, holy shit, we've created a whole genre of people.
Yeah.
And you must feel that way too. They just crop up everywhere.
Yeah, I refuse to call myself that, you know. Other people will, you know, because it's such an easy thing to say.
They do it to me all the time. And Drew always says, for the one celebrity I've counseled 1,000 normal people. Mm-hmm. But I'm always celebrity. He's a celebrity counselor. Mm-hmm. I hate that. So I empathize
with
you. But
Bob, this is the one I get. Is back in the day when I had all of the who's who, I would get the deal where other trainers would hire me. They wouldn't hire me. They would take me out for coffee or lunch, and they would say, how do you get celebrities?
How do you get in there?
And I would go, just do good work. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, I want the
celebrities. Okay, but for real.
Yeah, they go, how do you do it? What's the key? And it's like, the key is you really don't want a celebrity because if they're big enough, they're always shooting a movie. So they're not good. They're not a good pay, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, a lot of times if they're losing weight and the show starts, they want you to go on location. Again, you got to give up other clients. So you're not making as much money with them as you can make on the producer's wife, who's going to be there day in and day out.
So you never bumped into the thing I bump into. When I get a call like that, They assume that I'm just going to do it for free because I'm being able to help this famous person get into rehab. And I'm like, I've done it 100 times, but I'm just so taken aback by how celebrities don't think they should pay like normal people. Do you get that?
They don't
even
do it.
Is it weird about getting paid?
No, they pay when they pay, but the problem is they get their managers to... to
that's what you need to start talking
here
about.
You go, Gina. They get their managers to Jew you up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It all comes
Kansas. I didn't say Jew down because that would be wrong.
That would be rude.
I've learned.
Yeah, that would be very stereotypical, yes. And I won't allow it.
No, they get somebody else
haggle,
to come in.
They haggle away.
Yeah, it's like, and it's like, well, you know.
You're going to get a lot of publicity from this.
And I would, and my thing is, I don't talk about my clients. So it's like, I'm not getting anything from this. And my move, it was always the best move ever. I'd say, okay, and I'd get up and I'd walk out the door and have them chase me out. Yeah. And, you know, you would have to give that serious one because my hour is worth my hour. I mean, they don't go to you guys. You guys are doctors. You got the DR. And once you have the doctor thing, they pay your price. No one's coming in.
No, they don't.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, all the time.
They work you guys too.
Oh, dude, that's just they. Everybody does.
I don't know. I'm so interested in this. So you can help one celebrity.
Right.
I've helped like one celebrity, and then he just keeps calling every friend of his celebrity, and so I've helped like 7 people for this one guy, no charge for any of them.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you're just the guy that wants
you're
to
help. You're
the
guy that they want to go to.
So you don't get that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's go run.
Yeah.
We're buddies.
Meet me at the gym. Yeah. Why don't you just meet me at the gym?
Because I don't want to go to the gym.
No, I'm never at the gym.
It's a childish grandiosity.
Yeah, it really is.
It really does exist. So that, I feel you when you're tapping in, like how difficult that is.
The other thing is all the gossip that blows out of the celebrity trainers.
And that's one thing that's, you know, people know that. Howie
Mandel
and I. Well,
some of them end up marrying some of them, haven't they?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, let's be honest.
That happens. That's never happened to me. I've never even dated one of them. But I have a weird story about that because I don't date actresses, yet I ended up with an actress in life as my partner in life. But yeah, people know that Howie and I are friends, Howie Mandel, because they see us out together grabbing coffee, and so that's okay. They know I train Howie. No one's worried about Howie. He's not messing up in life,
yeah.
Right? But let's say I'm going to name someone I never had as a client. Let's say it was like Britney Spears, right? Whenever you see in the papers sources close to every effing time is the trainer. It's the trainer or the masseuse. Every
Can I just
time.
Say one thing? I saw a picture of her the other day. Whoever is training her is doing a good job.
Yeah, they're helping her out.
That's good genes.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, much to anything.
Good old southern redneck genes. Yeah.
That's the Mickey Mouse the love gene.
But she's from Louisiana, genes. Right?
Yeah.
Somewhere like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
Back in the woods, you see the woman and the kids and the dogs and me.
I got to be careful. Bob, I'm from Louisiana. I literally grew up on a bayou.
So,
yeah, I did.
So tell how you ended up in training.
I ended up in training when
down,
I was
down, down, down.
It was literally.
Cue the dueling banjos. Go ahead, Vinny.
You were running from those guys.
Can I talk about that movie? You know the stunts in that movie are all
we're
real.
About Cannibal Deliverance? Run or what? Deliverance?
No, it's Deliverance.
Squeal Boy.
Squeal Boy.
John Voight did all that stuff.
Yeah. All of them did all the stunts because
Method
when
actors.
You look at the movie, look at it today, and you'll look at it and go, wait a minute, they're in that boat. And it turns out I Googled because I watched it again recently, and I mean, that's not cutaways. They're in the boat. Turns out they all got – Burt Reynolds hurt his back. They all got hurt in those boats. They had 8 boats, but they only had the 4 guys getting hurt over and over and over again.
Were you just trying to reminisce about your childhood?
Wait, so how did you end up training?
That was Tuesday in my life.
How did you end up in training?
I ended up training. It was somewhere around 1970. I was 8 years old, and I was getting beat up a lot in school.
Okay.
As a kid.
And then how did it become a career?
No one else was doing it. By the time I was 16, I lived in a small town.
What town?
Donaldsonville, Louisiana, right where the Mississippi River meets the biggest bayou in the world. Hmm. I was literally born on the bayou.
A lot of petroleum jobs down there.
Oh, a ton. That's what everyone did. Everyone's got money.
You don't got to go to a gym if you're out there doing that every day.
Yeah, but I was eight, and they weren't hiring 8 years. It wasn't a lot of petroleum jobs when you're eight.
Well, he wasn't locking in drill bits to go down 3,000 feet.
You know, I had a really bad speech impediment, and I got goofed on, and I was getting beat up every day.
By nuns.
By nuns, on top of everything. The nuns just made it okay. You read the book, right?
Yeah, I read the book.
You know who's never read my book?
Me.
Who?
Me.
Drew.
That guy.
He's a very busy man, Vinny.
Yeah.
No. Well, he said
I think even his wife has read the book now.
Did you read it?
She read part of it, yeah. Three quarters. So three quarters.
Well, well, maybe she should interview you about the book. You ready? Okay.
So I was getting beat up all the time as a kid, and I knew that I wanted to be a superhero because I knew if I was a superhero, I can beat up these kids.
Yeah.
But I knew that superheroes weren't real.
But Bruce Lee was.
No, even better.
Schwarzenegger.
Jack LaLanne.
Jack LaLanne.
Jack LaLanne. I was
Jack
just,
LaLanne.
That's so weird. I was just going to say something about Jack LaLanne, but continue.
Well, I turned on the television one day, and I was watching Wide World of Sports, and because they would show places like Kitzbühel, and I would go, oh, my God, that's got to be so much better than where I am. Meanwhile,
how
they were killing Jews there back in the 1940s.
Crazy as they remember Kitzbühel and Innsbruck because he got so ingrained with that with the Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, you know,
who has heard of Kitzbühel in the last 50 years?
I've never heard of Kitzbühel.
When was the last time Kitzbühel was mentioned on this show?
I think it's where they did the ski jumping or something, right?
That's
I would know that?
Dude.
Yeah, because
that opening sequence is in Kitzbühel where the guy falls off the...
Yeah, and he does the circle and the guy...
You guys passed the old test.
The agony of defeat
is in Kitzbühel.
And the human drama of athletic competition.
Wow.
So every Saturday, I would watch that. And back in my day, Gina, you won't even get this.
All right.
But these guys will. I was done with the television, so I got off the couch, and I was walking up to turn it off because there was no such thing as a clicker.
Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
And
we suffered.
Yeah.
Oh, it was rough.
And sometimes it would shock you when you touched
it.
Oh,
God.
Oh, yeah.
It was painful.
Oh, so I was getting up to cut it off to go outside and do something else kids don't
push
do anymore
the button
and
in.
Play. So I was getting up to go outside to play, so I was turning the television off, and the show came on with Jack LaLanne.
Okay. So it's him doing jumping jacks as in a shadow.
In black and white. In black and white. No, my mom used to watch it.
It's the Jack LaLanne show.
And he had his onesie on.
Yeah. It had a little belt that kind of,
accentuated. Yeah.
By the way, you know what his wife's name is? Yeah. Elaine LaLanne.
He's passed.
How awesome is that?
Jack has passed.
I know. But
she's still alive.
And what he's wearing around the midway.
He just only passed a couple of years ago.
I know. He's 94 or something.
But she's invited me to the house because I wrote a whole chapter in Fitness Confidential about Jack LaLanne, and she invited me to his house to see his museum, which is in the house.
Oh, my God. Did you go?
I need to go.
Where is it?
It's like on the – you want to come with me?
I'll go with you. Where is it?
It's on the way to
Santa
Barbara.
It's
up going to
Santa
Barbara.
No, but I used to see him at Musso and Frank's. I saw him right before he died. He was in Musso and Frank's.
Oh, yeah.
He wore the outfit.
Oh, yeah, he walked around,
with that thing still.
Listen, Castro wore his grenade belt until the day he died, trust me. He wore green and wore a grenade belt.
But I was thinking, he's the king of celebrity, the term celebrity trainer is him, but he was training housewives. He wasn't training celebrities.
Right. He became the celebrity.
Yeah. That's what you want to become famous so you can, you know, proselytize to the masses. And that's what he did.
But
and
Bob, let's go back a level. This podcast has gone all over the place. But when you think about it,
trying to get Gina's piece in here so she can get going.
Get up at 4 in the GD morning.
Well, let me get this out, and then we'll get Gina's piece in here, and then we'll go back. But trainers used to be what taped us up
right.
To play football.
I think it does.
No, trainers were either Burgess Meredith in the corner of a boxing ring.
Yeah.
Or
Mickey loves
you. Or a guy that you had a whole big roll of tape and taped up your ankles
right. Before football. They were trainers, and they knew how to ice you down after and the whole thing. And so the term trainer in the 1980s became a different thing, you know, and we became trainers. But before that, there was no trainers. Anyway,
wouldn't a clearer title be inspirers? Because anybody can do what you're telling them to do. They know to do it.
But that doesn't roll off your tongue. Who's your inspirer?
And there was a weird parallel course going on when you guys came along, which is the sort of the bodybuilding world. There was sort of a parallel and a separate phenomenon.
You had to have biceps. You had to look the part.
Glamour
muscles. Well, and you had to jam crap loads of steroids, too.
Yeah.
That was the dirty little secret. And I was a medical student. I was actually a high school student when I first started hanging around those guys. And when I went to medical school, they started asking me for stuff. And I'm like, Jesus.
Were you like, why do all these guys have so much back knee?
did you not, were people not using steroids when you played football?
No. No? High school, no. But it was completely.
They are now.
I know, but it was completely secretive in the gyms. Yeah. It was a very backroom thing.
It was, and I played college football, and it was just prevalent in college football, just
by
shooting
then,
up in a locker room.
Which was what, 80?
81.
Yeah, by then it started up.
Yeah,
that's when it really
big.
Got going.
Yeah.
All right, so then Gina, who is you guys have met through.
We're going to skip about 40 years.
Yeah, I'm going to skip a little
Let's
bit.
Let's go ahead so she can get out of here.
Yeah, so Gina can
She's
move.
Been so kind.
You saved her life.
You really did. You changed it, absolutely. You would come on the Corolla show, and I would be very polite and say, oh, how nice for you. And
you hated me at first.
I didn't hate you. I just
thought
you were full of shit.
Looked down your nose.
Why was
at
you full
a little
shit?
Bit.
Why?
Yeah. Because, first of all, I gained a ton of weight, and it started slowly as I became an adult, and then last year went into overdrive. I knew for a fact there was nothing I could do about it. I accepted it. I made my peace with it after trying, the Weight Watchers or this or that or this restrictive. Nothing worked. And so this is who I am. I'm going to accept myself and move on with my life. This guy comes in, starts preaching some BS about sugar, and I'm just going, that's very nice. And he was nice enough to go, I could tell you about this at some point. And I was so sick of being disappointed that I just kind of said, yeah, maybe sometime. Okay, whatever. Bye. And so he kept coming on. And then I was watching Adam Carolla, and I was really seeing how he really believed the things that you were saying, Vinny. And I said, okay,
well, because it was stuff that Adam had been saying before Vinny came along. It's
right.
A lot of it's very common sense.
Yeah, it seems logical. And then, and that kind of got me thinking. And then we passed in the hallway, you and I, Dr. Drew, and you kind of signed off and said, this guy knows what he's talking about. And then I was like, okay, all right, I'll hear you out.
Yeah.
So we went for coffee.
We have the famous coffee
our
date.
Our very lightning quick 4-hour coffee date.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
And learned a lot about, what it was going to take. I said, I'll try it. I don't know.
Were you in addition to dietary management, were you training, physical training too?
No.
No training.
Just nutrition.
Just nutrition.
Because the fact
you
that
you want a trainer though, right?
Who doesn't? Have you seen me?
No, I'm
kidding. I'm
just saying that did you? I imagine you wanted to train her also.
No.
This is just about food.
There's no money. That's what confuses everyone about me. I'm the only guy that don't ask for money. It's confusing for people.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
But I it was out of the goodness of my heart, I guess. I just said, look, she came to me and she says, I have this.
I have an inner tube.
This bib. She kind of lifted her shirt up a bit,
really
not
gave
high
you,
enough.
Gave you a good show.
And she goes, I have this bib. And I said, oh, geez. All right, just let's go have coffee and I can explain. And I don't have any.
It's metabolic syndrome, right? Fundamentally. Yeah.
Well, and the thing is,
everybody
talks about he talks about sugar, but
common.
I'm not a. I was like, well, this isn't going to work for me. I don't have a sweet tooth. I'm not a dessert person.
No.
Meanwhile, I'm stuffing baguettes in my mouth
right
and left,
yeah.
And don't realize that that's.
But you're. But
sugar.
I bet you're highly sensitive to this stuff. I know.
Very.
I am.
But my weight comes off at a snail's pace, and that's just the way I'm built. Mm-hmm. So
how long did it take you to lose the 16 pounds?
16 pounds took me probably 12 to 16 weeks. I lose about a pound and a half a week.
Which is about right.
I won't say what they are. It rhymes with Hate Watchers. And in 2 years, I lost 12 pounds. And I thought, well, now I'm seeing some progress. Wow, 12 pounds in 2 years. I really know what I'm doing. And they're great. They're fine for other people. But when Vinny said, you got to cut out all the sugar and grain, it's really messing you up. It worked. Nothing has ever worked.
And you've lost over 30
This is.
Pounds,
would you agree? Right? It's really about insulin metabolism. When you get right.
Yeah, we don't gain and lose weight on starving ourselves. Yeah. You can only starve yourself for so long. It's hormones is how we gain weight.
But isn't it? So here's what I've thought. Like I'm in a world of all of this stuff constantly.
Why?
Because my friends and musicians
are
obsessed
with your eating disorder and stuff.
They all have it.
Okay.
Most musicians have manorexia. Because there's a certain archetype you're supposed to be in. As you age, if you last to your 45 or 50, you don't look like that anymore.
Right.
Right? So they're obsessed with all these guru-y type things, right? One of the things is sugar, that at a certain point, it turns into middle fat somehow, right?
Yeah.
Insulin, that. But that's later in life.
Well, it gets worse.
Yeah.
It gets worse as you
way
age.
Worse.
Yeah.
And we tend to demonize sugar all the way down the line. I think that the 40-somethings just need to take responsibility for themselves and say, hey, you're going to turn into your dad.
That will never happen, because as long as you're beating the game, then you're not going to do anything about it. You know, think about that. If you're winning,
everybody beats the game. I beat it until I was 35.
But think about what you're saying, Bob. You're saying you want a 40-year-old to, if you watch it now, because it starts happening at 30 and 31 and 32. You just don't see it.
I gave the dog a piece of cheese.
He's
I'm so
it
sorry.
Up, dude, it was like, wow.
I noticed that.
Oh, my God.
I was wondering what you were pointing at.
I'm like,
that's
no,
part of my
fresh.
Eating disorder. I was eating my third one, and I thought, and I can't eat this whole fucking thing, and I gave it
all
to
all right,
him.
We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. All right, our friends at Bergamot Pro Plus. Of course, this is an all-natural dietary supplement derived from the citrus fruit called bergamot. Bergamot is rich in polyphenols. It's known to reduce the risk of heart disease. Bergamot Pro Plus acts as a natural statin. You know those medications we use to lower cholesterol. We call that an HMG-CoA reductase inhibitor. It's got properties that also may lower triglycerides, raise HDL, and it seems to have even some very significant properties in improving vascular health that we are not fully defined yet, as well as improving the metabolic syndrome and, of course, fatty liver. The metabolic syndrome meaning high cholesterol, high blood pressure, high, you know, insulin resistance, excess abdominal fat. We use diet, of course, to manage that, but you can use things like the polyphenols in bergamot to help you with this. So with the Pro Plus formulation, you're getting higher concentrations of the bergamot extract, as well as the additional components that can lead to greater reduction in blood sugar, blood pressure, and decrease in insulin resistance. Bergamot has been studied extensively, and it's used and prescribed by physicians and cardiologists worldwide as a natural alternative. This is sometimes in addition to pharmaceutical agents like statins. If you're on a statin, please discuss this or any treatment with your doctor before you go off and do this on your own. And for a limited time, when you order two bottles, Bergamot will give you a third bottle for free, plus a bonus sports bag. To learn more about Bergamot Pro Plus or any of their supplements, visit Bergamot, B-E-R-G-A-M-E-T, Bergamot.com, or click on the Bergamot banner at drdrew.com.
Information exchanged during participation in this podcast is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please do not confuse this with treatment, as nothing here supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Anything promoted on this podcast is not to be in place of your usual prescribed medications. Always consult with your medical professional. Dr. Drew is a licensed physician with specialty board certifications in internal medicine and addiction medicine. However, he is not functioning as your physician in this environment. The same applies to any professionals who may appear on this podcast or drdrew.com. Thank you for your support.
Okay, and we're back.
We are indeed. So Gina, we're still trying to deal with the dog.
The dog is farting like crazy.
Oh, poor baby.
Are you going to give him more food?
No, we're going to try to get him out of, get her out of here.
She's so sweet.
She's old. But man, she's like really old.
That's a fart.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. So let's get back into how it's worked and what you had to do.
I started texting Vinny a lot at the beginning because it was very, I don't know if you knew this, Vinny, but it was very, I told you so text. Like, okay, well, I'm doing this and I feel like shit and I'm doing this and I'm exhausted. I'm doing this and none of the weight's coming off.
Right.
And
did you get the full withdrawal?
I think so.
Irritable, desperate.
Oh, all of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I framed it as, hey, Vinny, just wanted to let you know. And I'm like, motherfucker, I feel like shit and nothing's changing.
Well,
and
was it, hey, man, the fat's fucking me up? Was that the sort of,
well, yeah, that was part of it, too, because, you know, the high fat cheese and the high fat. And Vinny would have these really calm, really reasonable, logical explanations. And I would go, okay.
Well, maybe I don't understand. So if you're cutting out sugar, you encourage high fat
stuff? High fat, yeah.
But a lot of vegetables, a lot of things that don't have 18 ingredients in them. And the way I've tried to explain it to people who just in an elevator pitch is it's like paleo with dairy, you know, because it's not like Atkins or South Beach where here, eat this power bar, eat these
chips.
Right,
but paleo has also become a religion the way veganism has.
But it's hard to explain to people what's going on.
Basically, you can eat anything you want to eat as long as it's fresh food.
Yeah.
And so nothing from a package and nothing from...
The problem is the fast food, health food things like Jamba Juice or whatever. It's all
There's
frozen.
There's nothing healthy about Jamba Juice.
Yeah, it's nothing healthy.
No,
but if you go to a real place that really juices and does raw juice,
you're still getting a glass full of sugar.
Not necessarily, are you?
Yeah.
If it's just vegetables.
If you're taking vegetables and you're squeezing out the fiber, you're keeping nothing but the water and the sugar.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, what I do is this cocktail of carrot juice, raw carrots, right?
Right.
Lemons.
Right.
And I forget what else, turmeric. And I drink that. That's like a breakfast, right?
Okay.
Maybe a power bar. I know you hate that, but I like
that's
sugar.
Just nothing. Well, that's, might as well eat cake, but okay.
That's what my gal said.
Your gal is right.
So this is a new cult, Drew.
Not a new cult. He's just going back to basics.
I've been doing this for 30-something years.
This was a nurse who's carved out a niche in this world.
Nurses know nothing. I have a nephew.
No, but she...
stands for registered know-nothing.
Well, she said the same thing about a power bar and a juicing.
Oh, she agrees with me.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
No, she agrees
with you. She's a genius.
She's a genius. I thought you were talking because I had one guy.
No, she's a Sikh nurse who teaches nutrition. She comes to your house. Okay. She goes in your kitchen and she goes, "Oh, you like sugar with sugar?" And it's like granola and like really expensive hippie yogurt.
Yep, doesn't matter.
And like,
it's all crap.
Jesus.
Everything at Whole Foods is crap.
Hey, Vinny, what's your favorite cereal?
Bacon and eggs.
There you go.
What about the idea of high nutritional content in things like vegetables and stuff? You know, sort of.
Yeah,
you know,
you need vegetables.
No, but I mean, is there in terms of? I was thinking about the Whole Foods thing. Having high quality produce probably not a bad thing, right?
So you no, get the higher Whole quality, the better. The problem is, even if it says organic, that doesn't mean anything. As a matter of fact, for my next book. I wanted to do a whole thing on organic. I wanted to see really, you know, just drill down. The government allows
anything to be labeled organic.
Not only that, you can end up with more chemicals. You can have more chemicals on something organic than the non-organic stuff because they will allow you to try to kill the insect 6 or 7 times with 7 times the amount of the natural stuff. If it doesn't work, you can then use the 7 dust or whatever to kill it and still call it organic because you tried to kill it the other way. So you're getting a crappier piece of food, fruit and vegetable, when you're eating organic in a lot of cases.
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the vegetables are good. The fiber is good. The actual.
So exactly what were you eating? Just share.
I was eating like a regular person, quote unquote.
Carrot, celery.
Before him?
No, after him.
People
are only concerned with losing weight.
That's true. So breakfast for me, because I get up at 4 in the morning, so I eat breakfast around 6:15, and it's usually a couple pieces of salami, a piece of cheese, and then some carrots, some snow peas, whatever vegetables I have in the fridge at work.
Okay.
So that's breakfast. Right.
This is at your guidance.
Yeah.
Okay.
He would love me to eat hard-boiled eggs. I'll die.
Oh,
I can't.
God, I can't.
It's a texture thing. I'll die. I can't even talk
about
it.
What about no eggs?
No, the middle part
is
so gross.
I can't
eat the white.
You know how much... No,
just
it's all
just take the yellow thing out.
Scrambled egg takes 12.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yeah, but I can't do that when I'm trying to say, and now fog hat.
Nobody likes the inside of a hard-boiled egg.
Me.
I do.
Adam
it's
Carolla.
Like chalk with
yellow
urine
egg.
On it.
That's right. No, I love that.
But here's the deal. Fundamentally, though, lots of vegetables.
Lots of vegetables.
No starch.
Correct.
No simple sugars.
Correct.
No starch. Let's clarify that. No bread.
Potatoes,
no
rice, grains.
Right. Try to get rid of that entirely.
And
then limit fruits even.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and Vinny says you can have a couple of berries, but don't go crazy with the tropical fruits. And so for dinner, and I've gotten my boyfriend to eat like this. He doesn't quote unquote need to, but it's it's the way we eat now. I'll have a pork chop and green beans for dinner. Or
there's
you know,
no doubt
whatever.
That makes you feel better when you eat better. There's no doubt.
All the way around.
But people, I think most people know that, but they're just in such a rush and they're so used to it.
But
and
why
they like salt. They like salt.
Why the rush?
Also,
what's the rush?
Eating better is very much a state of mind because I thought I was, you're eating granola. Aren't you eating better? But Vinny says you're not.
No, you're not.
But here's what I was told. And this is about 15 years ago. I was very unhealthy. I was 40 years old, right? So she came over and she helped me. She goes, I said, well, for people that are just don't have millions of dollars in their life, anything they want controlled and live in bubbles,
right.
What would you recommend? She said, make a rule to yourself. You never eat fast food and cut sugar out. If you do those two things.
And starch, too. Any sugars.
Sugars.
Yeah.
Cut sugar out. Don't eat fast food. You will be healthy. And she said, you know why? Because if you don't eat fast food, you're going to have to figure out what the fuck you're going to eat and how you're going to eat it.
Well, here's the other thing.
Because you have to carry it with you.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's addictive and you feel bad, so you're just going to do it again because what does it matter?
But the other big ingredient that's tough, it's kind of tough, is eat more plants.
Yeah.
You have to eat a lot of plants. And you have to keep your refrigerator stocked. You have to buy plants.
Yeah. So is a wheatgrass shot? Is a wheatgrass shot useless?
What is it? What
it's the grass. Juice out of the plant.
My lawn means more. Maybe you can just chew on my lawn.
What are you, a cow? Are you going to eat grass?
Well, I have one every day, and I feel pretty good about it.
Well, and also, like, because I almost never go to restaurants now because I want to know what's in my food. Yeah. I've become this, like, junior chef that loves cooking, loves making up new recipes. I love cooking for my friends and my family.
Who cleans up the mess? I never knew how to do that.
I do it later.
Have you found the spiralizer?
Oh, my mom sent me that 8 years ago.
It's so good.
It gives me carpal tunnel because I don't have the crank. I have the hand.
Oh, you got to get the crank.
I know.
It's so good.
I know.
And then how about like squash, spaghetti squash?
I can't go crazy with that, right?
Oh, is it too much
sugar? Because it becomes starchy.
You can have it.
Were you a fast food? Del Taco?
She was everything. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or whatever you're on. The taco's only 4 points.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't eat eating that taco.
Cheating is fine.
How often?
But I don't call it cheating. You know, thank you for bringing up the cheating thing because people say, can I have a cheat day or can I have a cheat meal? And I'll say, yeah, but don't plan it because let's say you're making Sunday your cheat meal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you say, all right, I'm watching a football game with the guys. I'm going to have all the crap I want, the 7-layer dip, the beers and the whole thing. And then the next Sunday, you know, all right, it's going to be my cheat meal again. Well, you know what? I'm going to be with the guys in a couple of hours.
Right.
That French toast looks pretty good.
Right. The dots start connecting. Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, Friday, you're cheating all the way to Sunday.
See, Bob sees all humans all the time as drug addicts. This is an area where we are.
Cheating.
No, this is a word.
Cheating is a part of drug addicts.
You don't get a cheat day.
But Bob, this our relationship with sugar is one of those areas where most humans do, particularly humans with metabolic syndrome, myself, Gina, that you do start to get that kind of addict kind of behavior going. It really does.
Well, it's so everywhere, though. It's almost when you decide not to have sugar and not to eat fast food, you realize how our culture is.
It becomes a game that you have to learn how to play. Yep.
And for me, I'm telling you, I never knew. I don't have an addictive personality. I've never been addicted to a thing in my life. If I trip that wire and just go through a drive-through, I can't stop thinking about it. It's all I want for the rest of the day, for the next day. And then I feel so much guilt and so much shame. I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'll just start it over another time, and I'll cry into my French fries. So I don't want to go because I don't even want to trip that wire at this point.
What about the size of food? This is something you're too young. You wouldn't know.
Eat more plants,
but
no sugar,
food used to be proportionate to what you should eat. And then it just became ginormous in the fast food industry, for one thing, and people think it's a bargain. Now they do it in their personal lives. I just went to Thanksgiving.
Right.
When you go to Thanksgiving, you got to pile it on.
Well,
everybody's just thinking in terms of the first time
I ever saw gigantic portions was actually on a farm in Pennsylvania.
And what was it?
And it was a lot of potato and beef and that kind of stuff. But it was sort of hashy, kind of
if you have a regular plate of food, people go, oh, what's wrong? Are you sick? Why aren't you
eating? But this idea of the men come off the field and just have these gigantic feasts. It's like, oh, my God.
Right.
I think some of it got going there, too. And so
I remember the first time I started noticing the big plate was mid-'80s. Robert Haas wrote a book called Eat to Win, where he told everyone to eat all the pasta you want to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And then restaurants, it used to be where restaurants I grew up in a completely Italian household, and pasta, even in our house, was a filler on the plate.
Fist.
Yeah, it was just a thing of pasta, and then over here there was a meat and a veggie.
Vegetable, yeah.
Right? And then all of a sudden,
I
was in New Orleans. It was mid-80s, and you would go out, and it would be an $18 plate of pasta. I'm like, this is horror food. This is what you feed peasants.
I think though the sort of family restaurants and the restaurants sort of
the whole restaurant scene started piling the plates up with carbohydrates.
And now we have the unending bowl. The bowl doesn't end. Just keep asking for refills.
And why? Because it's free. Yeah, grains are free. It's subsidized. We started subsubsidizing it during World War II.
Something like that. Yep.
And we still subsidize it so we can sell it worldwide. And what we should be doing, because we make more grains than anyone else in the world, we should be taking that, making ethanol, and putting it in our cars, and then stop our dependence on oil from foreign countries. Yet, no, what we're doing is we're putting it into our poor people, and then we're causing the biggest
healthcare problem
and healthcare. And we're going to break under the weight of our own weight, because
when this gets so bad, it's obvious, right,
that we can't take care of everyone anymore. We're going to have to start pulling money out of the military, and this is why I didn't like
Michelle Obama's. I mean, she tried with the nutrition, but she was really, what got all the attention was the exercise. And I kept saying, doesn't matter how much you exercise. If you eat three plate loads of food like most Americans do, you're not going to be healthy.
Let me tell you what happened there, because I was watching Michelle Obama very closely, because I like that she was trying. She was this beautiful first lady. Finally, we had this really hot looking chick in the Oval Office, right?
First time since 61.
Yeah. So we got a hot chick.
You got into Lady Bird Johnson?
Laura Bush, not so bad.
Well, the one with the bug eyes was pretty good too. That was the first Bush, right?
Barbara.
Babs. All right. So she goes in and she goes, all right, I'm going to make, you know, cleaning up, you know, and, you know, let's move campaign in this campaign. The one thing she tried to do, she planted the garden.
At
the White House and the whole thing. She had all this stuff going on. And then, I'll never forget this as long as I live. She went after Big Food. Mm. And she goes, I'm going to get to Big Food. And I went, I got to see how this is going to happen.
Yeah. They're going to crucify her.
They didn't crucify her. They shut her up. Mm-hmm. She had one meeting with Big Food. They shut her up. And the next campaign that came out, if you think I'm making this up, folks, if you're listening to this, go Google this shit. You will not believe what you're going to see. Drink an extra glass of water per day. They literally shut the little lady up and said, if you want to go out and tell people to drink an extra glass of water a day, you can do that. And that's what the campaign became.
Well, an exercise.
Yeah, it was always less move, but the less move went into, she realized that it wasn't about moving, it was about what we're giving these kids.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it one bit. They shut her down.
Now when people go out and study the obesity epidemic, they try to look at, you know, what are the things that are impacting on people's inability to turn around, what kinds of sociological phenomenon have impacted
it's them. The food, Drew.
It is for sure. We're talking about that, but the only other thing that they've discovered, this is an unpleasant and unpalatable fact, but we might as well discuss it and do it, and it's not going to change the fact, is that mom starting to work, the years that started to happen are the years the obesity thing started to click up.
Makes sense. Eating because, more processed food.
And mom isn't there to look over and whatever. And so that had – and also trauma and abandonment and broken families.
And again,
so people are regulating with food. That's the other
thing. So it's not but other studies I've seen is all technology and kids don't move and they don't get out and they don't exercise. I've always thought that was bullshit.
That messes up the brain.
I think it's bullshit.
But that does mess up the brain.
Kids can be on technology 4 hours a day. They're still – I have two kids. They're still climbing on the roof of the building and running around like wild animals.
That's right.
But have we ever been this overweight and this over-medicated
in
history?
Never has a society been this overweight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's multifactorial. It's the source. It's the drug, right? We were given better drugs. That's how we get an addiction going, give a better drug. It's the trauma. They're unregulated, which is like our field. We understand how it works. It's the lack of supervision and training and the dietary management and during critical developmental periods, mom or dad. Why couldn't dad pick that up? Or why couldn't they share that responsibility? I'm not looking to blame the moms, trust me. And what else? And it's the
inactivity.
It's at least the electronic disconnect. You know?
The devices.
Yeah, devices.
And the part you were right about what you said. I don't need a call from Gloria Steinem if she's still alive, but When women started burning their bras and women went to work, and I agree, my mom always worked, so I get it. But okay. Once we had dual income families, now the people in the middle class were able to rise to the upper part of the middle class, which made the lower class even more prevalent. And now they had even less because the economy shifted because of dual income households. Now they even had less good food to eat.
I was saying, who could afford the vegetables?
So we started throwing more grains at them. It's this food pyramid, vicious cycle.
This hilarious food pyramid, which is all grain at the largest part of the
foundation. Until you get to the top, and all right, you can have a little piece of meat.
A couple of nuts.
Yeah, you can
have a little something. Vinny's fat, just normal fat intake. Really, you don't have to have fat helps suppress appetite.
Absolutely,
it helps you manage your diet. And fats are, you need essential fatty acid. You need them. More protein, but not crazy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Eat more vegetables.
Huge.
Cut out carbs.
It's that simple.
And you know that until recently I was kind of sitting on this because I was afraid and I didn't want to say anything. I knew for a fact eating the way Vinny has had me eating, my cholesterol was going to go through the roof. Mm-hmm. All four of my grandparents died now younger than my parents are. Horrible heart disease in our family. I knew my cholesterol was going to go through the roof. I just had my blood work done. It's down 16 more points. So I'm so grateful.
And I'm sure that your HDLs have gone up, your LDLs. Not only
it's on my phone.
Not only are the LDLs probably better. I haven't looked at it. I'm not a doctor, so I can't. I won't even comment it on. You can sure it's a doctor, but I won't look at it.
Yeah.
Your LDLs, the good numbers of the LDLs have gone up. I can guarantee you that if you're eating this way. Mm-hmm. You're going to have more of the big fluffy particles and not the small
concentrated ones,
the ones that can actually cling on to plaque in your heart.
Mm-hmm. And she's taking the Bergamet now. That'll help reduce.
Oh, yeah, man.
And if you take Bergamet, whatever that is, it will help you.
Thyroid issues. I was going to an endocrinologist for 3 years.
Oh, and that makes sense to me. That would get better because the thyroid binding globulin is very much affected by all this stuff.
And by the way, that endocrinologist put me on she said it was a weight loss pill, but it was actually an antipsychotic, question mark? My brain
was it
started feeling fuzzy. I think it was.
Topamax is a seizure medicine.
Yeah.
But it does.
So
and
I
it
didn't
does,
feel too good, and I
no,
got off of it.
It makes it very fuzzy. But it will make you not want to eat.
Well, yeah. No, I felt awful. And so I switched doctors, and my thyroid's great. My cholesterol's great.
You know one thing? I'm always a shortcut junkie. You know, he makes fun of it all the time. So when I stop smoking, you know, everybody tells you, oh, you stop smoking, you're going to blow up like a pig.
Right.
Right? Well, I never really did stop smoking. I'm chewing the gum, and I never did
you
really
did stop
gain.
Smoking.
I did stop smoking, but I was chewing the gum, the nicotine, right? So then years go by, and I'm you know, you make it over the first 6 months, and you don't blow up, and you still don't have much appetite, and you eat as normal as you always have. So then it's going on, and then people start coming to me like, dude, you're 50, and you stay the same size you were when you were 25. And I'm like, I don't know. And then this one guy caught on, they chew the nicotine gum, and they go, you know what the number one side effect of nicotine gum is? Appetite suppressant.
Well, that's why doctors used to tell people in the 70s to smoke it. Yeah.
So
drink a
tab
and have a cigarette.
So I don't know. I'm not telling people out there to act like me, but if you're scared of stopping smoking, which will kill you more than food will.
Oh yeah.
But nicotine won't kill you.
Nicotine will not harm you.
He's the one that said.
Yeah. So you and I agree on something else.
Yeah, we agree on everything pretty much. That's why when Gina was like, "What's going on with that guy?" It's pretty much standard stuff.
Yeah, people say nicotine's bad. It's like, no, it's the tar.
I had a fight with a cardiologist who started telling me. I go, "Why can't we allow people to vape? It's not the greatest thing. It was way better than smoking cigarettes."
Yeah.
Well, nicotine, but I go, what nicotine? Stop it. You're a cardiologist. Nicotine doesn't hurt anything.
It's addictive, Drew.
It's a weird judgmental thing. It's so bizarre.
It's a drug. It's just like caffeine. Caffeine is actually good for you, but you go to a doctor and you go, don't have caffeine. It's like, why? Because it's bad for you. Why? Because it is.
Yeah.
Show me a study. I can't. Okay, so is it really bad for you? No, it's not.
They'd be good for you.
You go back caffeine. To cardiologists, they'll say, oh, your cholesterol's too high and it's going to cause heart disease. Well, you need cholesterol to live. If you don't eat it, your body will make it. Why are you telling me it's going to kill me? It's not even an essential nutrient. Your body will make cholesterol. Well, it'll clog your arteries. Well, I thought plaque is what clogs the arteries. Yes. Is there any cholesterol in plaque? No. So what's killing us?
That's exactly the first time we talked.
It's like, you're the cardiologist. Yep. Why are you listening to a freaking idiot from a bayou?
I told you. I told you all four of my grandparents died young and they ate like, you know, crazy Jewish with the schmaltz and the butter and this. You asked me if they were smokers. I said, well, yeah, three packs a day, but what does that have to do with anything?
Geez. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Had no idea.
Yeah, people smoking will kill you,
man. So would you say, so you've been around a lot, what are the main things that everyday person could do to correct their life?
All right, before you answer that, and give, because people do like specific dietary stuff. Right.
Because I'm talking about, not everybody's disciplined enough or sophisticated enough or going to stick with it enough.
We'll
but
give it to
just
him.
Some let me just clues I'll to people you, can live healthier and longer and better.
I'll let him say it in just a second, but except to say that what Vinny was talking about, which was the lining of our artery, it's called the endothelium. There are cells that line our arteries, and that is an organ system. The lining of the arteries that go throughout our body is an where our skin is an organ system, our endothelial system is an organ system. And it's just beginning to be understood and paid attention to. That's why I get excited about bergamot. It seems to look at that, it seems to help that stuff. But it's a very complicated physiology, which is what Vinny's alluding to. But now give him some basics.
Okay.
So you got a client. Say somebody's 50 pounds overweight, smokes cigarettes, does coke, drinks, is out of shape.
Loves soda.
And loves,
did you say drink coke or does coke?
Snorts
we need
coke,
to start with that. We
got to get the cocaine and the cigarettes
and drinks,
out first.
And drinks a lot of soda.
How about,
right? So what do you attack first?
They're just dumpster fire.
I think the drug problem would
the
be
drug
the
drug and the nicotine, dude.
Thing they would have
way
to.
Way more serious. But here's the deal. If the average person, the average
Gina. Let's say they don't do drugs.
Gina, right? The average Gina walks in.
This is Hollywood. You work in Hollywood. Everybody does coke.
Oh, God.
I don't want to ruin my soft palate. I just want to lose some weight. So, okay, I walked in. I had this inner tube around my waist.
My face
was like Jerry Lewis, you know, when he was having issues. And I said, I can't get it off. What do I do? And I'm eating, quote unquote, normally.
Yeah.
Like everybody else eats.
The first thing you want to do is start the day off right. You know, breakfast is the most important meal. Adam loves when I say this. He always wants to know, what does every fat person tell you? Because I work with 400 and 500 pound people. And I'll always say to them, fat people will brag that they never eat before noontime, but they will also brag that they drink a 2-liter thing of Diet Coke before noontime. So the first thing I would tell you to do is to have breakfast. The second thing I would tell you to do is to have a good breakfast, not cereal of any sort. There is no such thing. It's an oxymoron to say healthy cereal. Mm-hmm. There is none. That's why
good taste in sugary cereal.
You might as well have cake at that point.
This is a standard line of yours.
That's why, you know, my famous saying, we did a t-shirt called "My Favorite Cereal is Bacon and Eggs." You're good with bacon and eggs. Any kind of meat, any kind of protein, eggs.
It's so minimal. If you have 2 scrambled eggs and 3 pieces of bacon, it's so minimal. I just look at proportions that go in my body.
Right.
When you get French toast, which I've known to do, that's a lot going into you.
Yeah.
Plus, it's really heavy when you put the syrup on it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, and it's 2 eggs.
You might
want to
stay away from that. Bob, right?
It's 2 eggs and 3 bacon, not 4 eggs and 7
I always go to the 101
bacon.
Diner on Franklin.
Oh,
it's always my decision. Am I going to have French toast and feel horrible? But it's queso
so
good.
They have the best tuna
melt
on the planet.
As an addiction guy, why go? Why put yourself in that?
Because I just live up the hill. See, because and you don't have to get on Franklin to get there from my house.
Okay,
it's really fast. You got to be efficient. It's got to be. It's got to.
Do you
be.
Have a stove in your house? Do you
oh,
have a
I
fridge?
Never cooked. It makes a mess.
The first thing you want to do is maybe try to cook an egg. Anyone can cook an egg.
I have a question.
Okay,
I want to ask a question. You said no fast food, but what if you have a protein double or triple
or an In-N-Out?
In-N-Out burger.
Lettuce. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I imagine you've never been in an In-N-Out.
I have been, and I have done.
They give you the meat with the lettuce on it.
Right. Yeah, I've had the protein style. That's fine, but you have to also tell them to keep.
But.
Yeah, there's always a but. You got to tell them to keep their special sauce off because that sauce is full of sugar.
No ketchup either, right?
No ketchup. What you want on that sandwich is you can have the tomato, you can have the pickle,
the onion.
Onion, all healthy.
Or mustard.
You can have mustard.
Yeah, mustard.
But they have a special sauce.
Right. I don't like it anyway.
That's full of sugar.
They charge extra for it.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know because, yeah, and you get it lettuce wrapped.
Not that I would know.
It's chunky Thousand but, you know, look, Let's you, call it what it is.
You're road tripping up to Mammoth, and you pull into In-N-Out. If you're in Southern California, we have a thing called In-N-Out Burger.
You're missing out, baby.
Can you just do mayonnaise?
Yeah, but they probably have crappy mayonnaise.
Yeah.
There's good mayonnaise and bad mayonnaise.
Because I think Carl's Jr. does it now, too, where they do it protein
style. Yeah, everyone's kind of coming on because of all the paleo stuff, and people are kind of grabbing
But that's a
on.
Huge thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Filler, bulk,
and all of the onions you want to eat.
But a thing that you taught me right away was easy on that salad dressing and marinara.
Well, no salad dressing because that's just full of sugar.
Now use vinegar and oil.
And it's not just regular sugar. It's high fructose corn syrup.
Well, what about balsamic vinegar?
If it's real balsamic vinegar from Italy, the stuff from Modena, knock yourself out. If it's the crap you're buying at Trader Joe's.
Paul Newman's.
No, everything Paul Newman is crap.
Paul Newman all is a great stuff. Man.
Except for the charities that he gave billions of dollars to.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good looking. Even Paul Newman, olive oil is bad olive oil. I'm a freak about olive oil.
Yeah, sure. Do you like fig and olive?
I don't know what fig and olive is.
Have you ever been to the fig and olive in Hollywood?
It's delicious.
Yeah,
it's
is really it really?
Good. It's a restaurant.
Well,
it's
I
really
go?
Good. What's your other t-shirt you, that is catching on right now?
Is steak good for you or bad for you?
What is?
Steak.
Steak is great.
It's the fucking greatest thing ever, isn't it?
Best thing ever.
But what grain is terrible that everyone thinks is
good? Oh, quinoa. Yeah. And
steak at Musso and Frank's, the only thing I don't have to put anything on.
He has a t-shirt that says
We have the new – yeah, it's my t-shirt that's selling right now. It's Fuck Quinoa, which I said one time on the show – my show's been up for 4.5 years, and – Anna, my co-host, was asking about quinoa, and I said, fuck quinoa. And she goes, what? I said, just fuck it. It's douchebag grain. You know, it's what vegans eat because it has protein. Slightly more protein than the other crappy grains. So they hold it up in some kind of, you know, quinoa. And it's not doing anything. It's causing the same inflammation as every other grain. So I said it so often that I ended up in the Urban Dictionary for that phrase.
What do I like sunflowers?
Sunflowers would normally be good. Drew is asking about sunflowers. They would normally be good, but usually they put them in crappy oil. You know, they oil them up. If you could get fresh, dried sunflowers, it's actually a heart-healthy treat.
Yeah, I always feel like there's some calories hidden in there. I always can tell. I just
it's not even a calories. It's again, you know, we talk about what causes inflammation that causes plaque, and it's all of you know, it's all of the trans fats. And by the time you cook that oil onto a sunflower seed, you're taking something that was normally really good for you and making it bad. So if you could get the fresh stuff, just like chia seeds are good for you, and it's the same thing. It's good for you if you could find the fresh
stuff.
I had
a gigantic bag of mixed nuts that I was so excited to show you. You looked at the back and threw my whole bag of nuts in the trash.
Yeah, and then you had it. You brought one of them into the show before the show started, and you said, Adam, Vinny said this is bad. Adam said, of course they're bad. They taste good.
Yeah, he goes, does it taste good? Yeah. I go, delicious. Yeah.
He goes, well,
cashews are good.
Yeah, if you could get them raw.
Yeah.
And Trader Joe's has all this stuff.
Yeah, raw roasted is okay, right?
Yeah, if it's dry roasted, and then I'll put the oil on them.
Susan, how are we doing on time here? Wrap it up. Okay. Nate's like, I need to go to dinner.
This guy's like, I want to go home.
All this talk about food, I'll go get some quinoa at least.
So what Jack LaLanne, your hero, did was figure out how to do things that the everyday people can do.
Yes.
Right?
Jack LaLanne said, if it comes in a package, don't eat it. And if it tastes good, spit it out.
And he also got into doing stuff with your body weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got
He also ate steak at Musso and Frank's.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
He ate a lot of steak. A lot of vegetables, a lot of steak.
Well, like you say in your book, if you're sitting there eating, you know, a bowl of granola or whatever, have fun, albeit Musso and Frank's having a steak and cream spinach.
cream spinach. I just remember when he used to swim those boats across the lake in Boston.
Every year, you and I are the only guys that know. We love Bill Pearl.
All this,
Every year he would hook another boat for
his
each
age.
Year.
For Alcatraz. To go from Alcatraz to the...
No, he did it up in Boston.
I thought Boston Harbor, I think, because I would see...
No, but Jack LaLanne did Alcatraz to the mainland.
But he would tie...
Listen
yes, he did.
This.
He would tie a cap on his head and then drag as many boats as he is years old swimming across Boston Harbor.
He had 50 and 60 boats. They would be lined up behind him.
He was swimming.
Yeah, the guy was
I remember I was in college and we turned 80 and I was like, oh my God, 80 boats. Oh my God. Because I was in New England. You know?
He's like the Evel Knievel of fitness.
Oh, yeah. Here's another thing he did. He would drink blood. He would get butchers to keep blood and he would have to put an anticoagulant in it so it wouldn't go down into his throat and choke him to death.
He'd vomit.
Yeah.
There was something else you said. Yeah, something else you said. Oh, shoot, I lost my train of thought because there was something else you brought up. I thought, Bill Pearl. Yeah. So Bill Pearl, I used to work out with Bill Pearl. After he became Mr. Everything, he was sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger before Schwarzenegger. He opened a gym in Pasadena, 3 blocks from my high school. Yeah. So that's where I worked out for many, all the way through medical school I worked out.
Big fan of Bill Pearl.
Yeah, good guy.
And when I moved here for a long time, I lived at Mickey Hargitay in his guest house.
Oh, I know that house.
Yeah.
Up on in Laurel Canyon.
No, this is the house that it was at the top of Sunset.
Yeah, it's at Laurel Canyon.
Yeah, where Laurel Canyon,
through,
you go look
that's
out
my shortcut
the back way.
To go to my old house. And,
yeah,
and
the dirt road.
Yeah, the dirt road.
I used to live right
there. They fixed it all up now.
Yeah,
all,
of course.
He had it. The guy was a great carpenter. He would fix it up, and he would always ask me back in the day to take his daughter Mariska out.
And wow.
Yeah, that's and
not good enough
their
for you,
son.
Her, damn, I messed
her
up.
Her brother has that beautiful plant thing on La Brea Fountain.
Yeah.
Were you afraid that Jane Mansfield's daughter wasn't going to be hot?
She
What's
was
wrong
hot
with you.
Back then, she had long hair. She was hot.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
But here's the thing: she was an actress, and I. I have a thing.
He married
an actress. Ironically.
I ended up with an actress.
Yeah.
Right. But I didn't know Serena was an actress when I met her. Yeah, I met her at a Starbucks and asked her on a date.
He knew Mariska was an actress. She's out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right out of here. Because I worked with actresses, and the last thing I knew they were all crazy.
Yeah.
Well, they're empty vessels waiting to put a person in there.
And Serena was the first actress I met
that
was a real person.
That is very kind.
Oh, yeah. Another question different. From Susan. Go ahead. I'll repeat it.
What if you don't eat meat? And how do you
Vinny wants
where
nothing
do you get,
to do
where do you
with
get protein
you if you
don't eat meat?
Do you eat other, like fish or chicken?
I
or
I eat everything. But what if you're...
Well, if you're a vegan
if you are a vegan.
Yeah. Repeat the question.
What if you're a vegan, where you get your protein?
Hopefully, vegans don't eat eggs. So if you're a vegetarian, you're good.
Because you eat the egg. Eggs are a great source of protein.
Right. And if you're a pescatarian, that's even better. If you're a vegan, I talk to vegans. I do these phone calls. People can call and sign up and do a phone call with me. I talk to vegans every day. They have to incorporate beans because beans will give them protein. They have to incorporate fruit that has fat in it, such as avocado and olives. They have to eat a lot of good olive oil.
Mm-hmm. What about tofu?
Tofu is crap.
It's an incomplete protein.
It's not even close to a good protein.
Yeah.
So when they start with their tofurkey and their facon and all this stuff.
Facon.
Really, I mean, it's
not good.
It's the chicken with an apostrophe.
You hope the eggs are really what you want to think.
Let me tell you this. This is something most people don't know. We used to take beef tallow and cook the fried, like McDonald's and Burger King.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They were cooking in beef tallow.
What's tallow?
Yeah, it's these little animal tablets. Fat. But so, they're tablets of animal fat, right?
Right, but it's animal fat, and the French fries were actually healthier, and they tasted better. But a group called CSPI comes in, who's a bunch of vegans who don't want to see an animal get hurt. They campaign, and they get McDonald's to change what they're doing,
it's
right?
It's vegetable oil. Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when you heat vegetable oil past a certain temperature? Harvard, you want to take this?
I don't know. What happened? Tell me.
It burns. Turns into a trans fat. So you're taking something that was just a crappy French fry that tasted good and turns it into something that can actually cause heart disease.
What the hell were they doing at McDonald's if they were vegans? I eat the French fries.
Because
they're
trying to save the world.
Oh, okay.
It's with, you know, they want to save the world.
I would just generally say never underestimate the ability of a human with an ideological bent to harm people. I don't care
do
if it's political. I don't care if it's things
religious.
Need to be religious. Just be very pragmatic. Pragmatic in life, in all things.
That's not so popular these days.
I know. That's why I'm so top of mind right now, because everyone is in their ideologies. And I've noticed this too with sexual health and with addiction. Of course, we're fighting it all the time. People are steeped in their ideological bent. Mm-hmm. Just stay with the facts. Just stay with the basics.
Can I say something? Can I get a little political? You don't have to say anything.
Sure.
I was in West Hollywood the other night at my best friend's 60th birthday party. And it's me and a bunch of gay guys sitting around the table and Serena. And the guy, of course, they get into, you know, Trump, Hillary, and the whole thing. And I said, well, you know, Hillary lost it for herself. You can't call half of this great land a basket of deplorables. She probably didn't do herself any good. And one of the guys got, because I'm a gun guy, I own every gun there is. And he goes, well, only Republicans own guns. And I said, how stupid of a statement is that? Only Republicans own guns. He goes, you never hear of a Democrat with a gun. I said, my dad's a Democrat. He's got guns.
Lots of Democrats. Yeah.
And he said to me, he goes, where does your dad live? I said, the Deep South. He goes, those Democrats don't count. I said, that's why Hillary couldn't become president. Yeah. You can't sit around and say people.
Did you remind him that the Democrats were the ones that were fighting to keep slavery?
But just yeah. Don't things change. Look, yeah. Just don't discount any members of exactly. Our citizenship. Yeah. We are a perfect union.
I discount 99% of them. I'm from California. The rest of them go fuck themselves.
Bob, the one thing we've forgotten. The reason we have a federal government was to form a more perfect union of states. They can do whatever they want. They can be very diverse.
And we're going to go down a rabbit hole now. But you've migrated here. I would love to live in Louisiana. Nobody wants to go to Louisiana Drug Treatment Center.
I don't know. Right? There's a lot of films being filmed in Louisiana.
But they want Louisiana, Arizona, like the states that I like, Nevada, right. Louisiana,
so
states
like
in the
states.
Middle, in the middle.
They have nothing to do
it's
with
bizarre
each other.
To me, I know.
I would
do
never
you like
live
the whole
in
Louisiana
Kansas.
Kansas.
I understand.
They're all hot as shit. Everything you like is super hot. Either super hot and dry or super
hot. Yeah,
and humid.
I grew up in Palm Springs.
All right, okay, well, you
right,
know.
But
you
I love New Orleans because of the music.
Yeah,
all of
yeah.
America's
great.
Soul
yeah.
came
yeah.
from
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It did. There would be no Justin Bieber without New Orleans.
I don't know how you're going to make that connection, but okay.
Oh, I can connect
on
it.
On that note.
I mean, the Louisiana right. Purchase went all the way to Canada, but that's about the only connection.
There would be no rock without Louisiana.
There would be without, no nothing without New
can
Orleans.
Can I say this? I'm going to ask you guys while we're on the show. Yeah. You guys should get – you want to talk, you know, about recovering the whole thing. Serena, my better half, has been
sure.
sober for 34 years.
Oh, my God.
You got to get her
on here.
Done
yeah.
and done.
Yeah. She
what does she think nowadays? It's like – she's
we're going to leave
all.
That for another podcast.
Oh, there you go.
Cliffhanger, cliffhanger.
We'll end it with that.
We got to go. Thank you, Gina. You stayed the whole way.
My
we
pleasure.
Didn't
yeah, Gina. I know you got
to
go home.
Vinny, give us the data on the flappers again. It is the June 15th. January 15th.
No, not June 15th.
Oh, God.
January 15th.
I did want to say it was so funny in the beginning. I didn't know you. So you got a new manager, and you've gone from, like, Yale lectures to flappers in Burbank.
Yeah. I've gone in reverse. Thanks, Mike.
It's Mike August.
But
he's not a manager.
Get your tickets.
Can I
advance?
Get him to manage me?
You to be fair, he set up that thing in Vegas that Coral and I did. You like. So, all right.
Okay. Go to the Flappers website and get your tickets in advance because that makes August happy.
Fitness Confidential is the podcast. Fitness Confidential is the book. Go see Vinny's Big Fat Show.
I am
a dog. The dog is licking me. At least it's not farting anymore.
All right, January 15th, Flappers. Guys, thank you very much. Vinny, Gina, thank you guys. We'll see you
next
time.
Peace out.
Put the artist in con.